You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
How's it going? I'm Adam's granddad, Bert. And I'm here to talk to you about Manscaped and their magnificent products that have helped me enjoy a better life in my twilight years. When Adam asked me, "Grandad, do you shave your nuts?" I thought he were making some type of reference to my pistachios. I never in a million years thought he were making some type of reference to the upkeep of my man garden. I remember the 1960s, you see, where the bush in your pants was as wild and free as the bush that you were smoking. As you get older, mark my words, things don't look as they used to. They drop, they go south, and they sag. So therefore, if you can get any extra help to make it a little bit more attractive, then you should take up the offer. Manscaped.com is the website you need to visit and use the code FIGHT20 to get yourself a discount. Your wife will thank you, especially if she's anything like my Joyce. Her dentures have never been so clean.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode 486. We are the Fight Disciples. This one is dedicated to the world of mixed martial arts. Not just the UFC, even though there's a lot of UFC to talk about. We're going to talk about one championship. We'll throw some Bellator in there this week. Whoa, I tell you something, we are rounded, just like the mixed martial artists that you know and love. Before we get stuck into the show, though, please subscribe to us. You can do it on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. We're on our website, fightdisciples.com, if you need Android feeds. And also, please subscribe to us on YouTube. Important that you do that, because there's going to be loads of new videos going up on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis. All the talking points from the podcast are going up on YouTube, as are interviews, as are fight picks. Loads of new content going up there. So please subscribe to us on YouTube. I know that this is kind of a throwaway comment at the start of every podcast, where we seem to be promoting various bits of stuff that we're doing. But the most important thing, if you could do me a favour and just subscribe to the YouTube channel, you'd make me a happy boy. It's my birthday next month. I don't want much. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's just helping me do something, all right? So thank you very much if you have already done it. If you haven't, come on, pull your finger out. It's just one button, man. I'm not going to spam you. Just hit the button and we'll send you some nice content on a day-by-day basis. Now then, lots to talk about from a week of mixed martial arts, including, I think I'm allowed to reveal this, that Darren Till's been in touch. He's been in touch with me. Now, I'm going to share this with you, Nick, right? Because I've no doubt that you've had text back and forth with Darren off the back of his injury, wishing him well and what have you, yeah? Yeah. Right, so I've had maybe five text exchanges with Darren over the last week, right? Check this out. First one, instigated by me. I instigated the text, wishing him all the best. Said, "Listen, mate, I'm absolutely gutted for you. The injury is what it is. I know that you're feeling down and low and what have you doing, but you will always have support with myself and Nick. Make sure that you know that. When you're back, don't you worry, mate. We'll be hyping the shit out of whatever's next. We'll be bigging it up. I'm looking forward to seeing you back in the octagon." Darren Till's response, very tame for Darren Till. "Cheers, mate. I appreciate it. Yeah, I am down, but don't worry. Onwards we go." Brilliant. There we go. Thank you very much, Darren. That's what you call normal human interaction, right? Pay someone a compliment, someone says thank you for compliment. Yeah? Say something nice, someone says something nice back. That's what normal people do, don't they? Now, let's just fast forward the week on, because the week's progressed. Darren Till is not involved in the fight night at the weekend. The week progresses. So therefore, we've got work to do. That's right, we've got work to do. We've got people to interview, haven't we? We've got people to speak to. So Nick goes about his business, speaking to Kevin Holland. And who else did you do? You did Arnold Allen, didn't you? You had a chat with Arnold. Yeah, did all that.
Very complimentary about Till.
Yeah.
Arnold Holland.
There you go then. There you go, you see. All very, very complimentary. Now, I drew the short straw, you see, because I got Till's supposed opponent in Marvin Vettori. That's who I got to speak to. Now, Marvin, I really enjoyed the conversation. Very pleasant guy. He comes across very angry in a lot of things that he does. Mm. But I like to think I calmed him down and we had a nice little conversation about various things. I even said, listen, man, I know that you're winding everybody up saying that you think that Till is injured and what have you. Come on, let's have that chat properly. Very nice, pleasant conversation between myself and Marvin Vettori, which I'm sure fight fans enjoyed that conversation. 24 hours after that interview is published, text message from Darren Till. Right. You shithouse cunt. What are you doing talking to that mumbling fuck for? I went, hey, I'm doing my job, mate. I'm doing my job, son. I said, you just get healthy, and the next time I stick a microphone in your face, you better fucking bring your A game. And he went, nah. He hasn't spoken to me since. He's not that. That's it. Done. Because I interviewed another guy.
See? You're dead to him now. You're fucked.
Loyalty. Loyalty is everything in the Till house. You pay him a compliment on a Monday. By Wednesday, he thinks you're a shithouse. There you go. Anyway, I've got Darren, I know you listen to the show, mate. I know you listen to the show. You'll like this bit because I come away from the contest at the weekend and the pure mixed martial artists that listen to this show are going to hate on me for this. But I'm not saying this because of Darren. I'm saying this genuinely. I come away from the main event disappointed. I come away disappointed with Marvin. Yeah. That was his swan song. That was his moment. That was his grab the attention moment. Here I am. I'm the guy. Israel Adesanya is always talking about Darren Till. He's always talking about Darren Till. That's who my next guy is for the championship. Well, hang on. Sod Darren Till. He's out injured. He hasn't shown up. I'll take this dude on last minute and I'm going to smoke this dude. This is what I'm going to do. It turns out that after about 2 or 3 minutes, he realised how good Kevin Holland is in the stand-up. And Kevin Holland did look good, really good. When the fight's on the feet, I thought Kevin Holland looked nice. Even though he's taken it at very short notice. I know he only fought, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. Thought he looked good. Yeah. Marvin Vettori couldn't live with him on the feet. So therefore, he had to change his tactic. He went against what he told me in the interview. He said, I'm not going to do what Derek Brunson did. That were boring. That were rubbish. Pick him up, stick him on the floor and wrestle him. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to smoke the dude. Brilliant. Smoke the dude. Then we've got a conversation for a world title shot. After 2 or 3 minutes, I think he realised that he ain't going to smoke the dude. And he went about his business and won the fight. And that's what you've got to do first and foremost as a mixed martial artist. There's no doubt about that. No problem with that. But when you say you're going to do something and then you do totally the opposite, you kind of open yourself up for a bit of criticism. And you can't really be shouting from the rooftops about wanting a shot at the middleweight champion when you haven't excited enough in order to do so.
Yeah, and I think the biggest winner out of it all was Till. You know, I think he went into the weekend feeling like the loser, but after a performance like that against Vettori, listen, he dominated Holland. I give Kevin Holland the first round, but then obviously Vettori won it by shutout, then doing exactly what was done the 3 weeks before. And that was the one thing I spoke to Kevin Holland about. I was like, are you not concerned that there's a blueprint to beat you and it's only 3 weeks old? And he was like, yeah, but, you know, he's not a different fighter, different styles. He's not going to be able to wrestle me like that. Well, you know, he proved once again, Kevin Holland, that to get to the level that he has, to have those 5 wins, big wins as well in 2020, the standout performer in the UFC in 2020, to get to that level and to have such a poor takedown defense that he's got is quite remarkable, you know, absolutely remarkable. In his last two fights, I've seen him fight 10 rounds in the last month, and his takedown defense is abysmal, absolutely terrible, especially for someone that's as strong as he is on his feet. That's all he should be training, is that stuff and takedowns and getting back to his feet, popping those hips out and getting back to his feet as soon as possible. When he gets taken down, Kevin Holland, he just seems to accept the fact that, oh, well, this round's gone now. You know, and that's really disappointing. And at one stage in the fight, I tweeted about it. I thought, Kevin Holland, done here. He's done. Vettori, he's done. He wants out. You know, I think he got cracked in the nuts, or he just cracked Vettori in the nuts. Or
that was first round. Yeah, he did that straight away.
Shot. Then there was the second round, the eye injury it was. The referee brought the doctor in to look at the eye, and they were asking Kevin Holland, and the doctor said, can you see? Are you okay? And Kevin Holland didn't answer, and then it was Herb Dean, I think it was, who was just like, can you see? And he went, I can see you. And it was just his mannerisms at that point in the fight. Yeah. didn't suggest someone that wants to be there any longer. Now, I can see that. I'm feeding off that, and I'm thousands of miles away watching it on TV. I know Vettori and his team can see that. And Vettori steps in then. But that's when he should have drove for the finish. But instead, Vettori starts the gas in the third round. And suddenly, Kevin Holland gets a second wind in the third round and thinks, actually, I can keep going here. And that, for me, was very disappointing because Kevin Holland was there for the taking. He didn't want to be there no more. He could have finished that fight, Vettori, had he stepped it up. But instead, he backed off. And he saves something in his tank for rounds 4 and 5. That's not how you get a title fight. You know, he was never, ever going to come through this on a decision of this nature and demand a title fight with Adesanya. It was never going to work. And as I say, man, I think Till is the biggest winner here because Adesanya watches that fight. Anyone that watches that fight goes, nah, don't really want to see Vettori fight Adesanya either. You can't Adesanya fight. And fucking Till is still standing there going, mate, I'm one win away. He's still one win away. Who that win is, I don't know. But he's still one win away. I think a lot of eyeballs now come onto the main event this weekend.
Yeah.
And we need a statement performance from Robert Whittaker. Or even just a conclusive victory for Robert Whittaker changes that narrative. Don't get me wrong. I think Whittaker remains the standout opponent. It was just the fact that Whittaker, after he won the last fight, basically went, ah, you know, if I fight Adesanya next, whatever. I'm doing the family thing now. I won't be ready for a fight for another 3 months. That's what put him off. But I think if he gets back in there, does Gastelum this weekend, and then gets on the microphone and says, that's it, man, come on. There's no other fight to make. Let's do it. There's no other fight the UFC can make.
You're 100% right. The middleweight division's in a weird place right now, man. Obviously, Izzy is the champion. He's just gone up to light heavyweight, got beat off Jan Blachowicz, and he's back. But if you look down the murderer's row underneath him, he's been through the majority of them. That's probably why he was saying Till's name quite a lot. And obviously with Till's injury, that kind of threw the division up in the air a little bit. At the weekend, there was an opportunity for Vettori to really make a statement. Yeah, he's been in with Izzy before. It was a split decision. It was a close fight over 3 rounds. Make your statement, mate. Go out there and chomp at the bit because you know what's coming this weekend. For the majority of fight fans, the number one guy, the number one contender, the guy that they want to see him with Izzy, is fighting this weekend for the majority of fans, and that being Robert Whittaker. Also fighting this weekend is Kelvin Gastelum. He's the guy that gave Izzy the best fight. He's the guy that has challenged Israel Adesanya and really asked serious questions about Israel Adesanya. It took him life and death, and it was Israel Adesanya's big set of nuts that got him through that fight in the fifth round. It was 2-2 going into that fifth round. So there's real opportunity now for both of these guys this weekend going into this main event where they can go, hang on, if I do something, I mean, Robert Whittaker less so, because I think Robert Whittaker's the guy anyway. But from Kelvin Gastelum's point of view, if I'm Kelvin Gastelum, I'm thinking, Till's injured. The geezer last weekend didn't do anything. Brunson the week before didn't do much. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is losing. If I go and starch Robert Whittaker and get on the microphone, I might get myself another shot here because the fans might go, hang on a minute. Last time them two fought, yeah, that was brilliant. Really good fight. Yeah, Kelvin Gastelum, Israel Adesanya. Yeah, I'm in on that. There's so much now for me on this weekend's fight. So much on it because the winner of it fights for the title. I don't think there's a question there. Israel Adesanya's next opponent is coming out of this fight the weekend. Vettori can say whatever he wants to say. Nobody is banging the drum for him. Nobody's going crazy saying Marvin Vettori's fighting Israel Adesanya next. That's not happening. Marvin Vettori might have to go and fight Paulo Costa next. He might have to go and do that.
Marvin Vettori, I think, will get remade to fight Darren Till. He hasn't moved forward at all.
But how long is that? How long is that off, though? We don't know where Till's injury's at. I mean, when does Marvin Vettori want to fight again?
Yeah.
You know?
I think Till will be back before the end of the year. And likelihood is you're going to see Marvin Vettori fight one more time this year. And I just think he did himself no favours in that victory over Kevin Holland. There was times in the fight where I was bored watching the fight. I'm like, come on, man. He was gone before. You've saved something for the last 2 rounds. Step it up. Do something different. And that's as you're right. That's not how you in a middleweight division where the champion has basically gone, come on then, impress me. I'm back. I've got the belt. Who wants it? He had an opportunity, Marvin Vettori, to make a statement. He had an opportunity to smash Kevin Holland to bits. At times, he looked like he was ready to do that, but he didn't do it. He didn't pull the trigger, and now he's yesterday's chip paper. Coming into this fight this week, nobody is talking about Vettori. Nobody has put his name in the frame since, except Vettori on the microphone afterwards. It's all about Whittaker and Gastelum. You're 100% right. And mark my words, Vettori's next fight will be Darren Till.
Where's Jared Cannonier? Where is he? What's he up to, Jared? I mean, we obviously saw him on Fight Island, didn't we, against Robert Whittaker. Robert came through that fight and he did it in sensational fashion. Really good fight. But Jared Cannonier, up until that point, was the dude. He was the dude coming from heavyweight down to light heavyweight into the middleweight, and he was going through guys like Adosa Salts as well. I was lucky enough to be in Copenhagen when he silenced the stadium there against Jack Hermansson. He was absolutely outstanding. Where's that guy gone? You know, why is his name not being thrown around? Is he injured? I mean, I need to try and get hold of him. I need to find out where Jared Cannonier and what he's up to right now. Because if you think about the runners and riders and the contenders in this middleweight division, with Till injured, that's the big thing. How long is Till out for? With Till injured, you've got to keep the division moving. Where are the other guys going to fight? Paulo Costa, how long is he injured for? Jared Cannonier, Marvin Vettori. If, like I said 2 months ago, if you're Kelvin Gastelum, and you're number 8 currently in this division, and you've had a couple of blips along the way. Obviously, he's been beaten by Till. He's been beaten by Jack Hermansson, hasn't he? If you have a look down above you and you think, oh, miles off. You're not miles off, Kelvin. You are not miles off. Everybody's injured. Everybody's out the way, pal. You go and do the number 1 dude this weekend, you are fighting for a title. I'm convinced in that.
And I think, you know, I think there'll be a lot of people supporting Whittaker, supporting Gastelum as well. Namely, to bring it back to the same guy, Till. Till knows that if Gastelum beats Whittaker, then Whittaker removes himself from being the top contender, which means that more than likely Gastelum will going to get the next shot at Adesanya in a repeat of that fight, where Adesanya will want to make a statement, put that 5-round war behind him and rubber stamp that victory. But because Till has a win over Gastelum, it only enhances Till's validity as a title contender before the end of the year. So you're right, man. This middleweight division is just in a weird state of flux right now. But listen, I expect Bobby Knuckles, and we'll come on to it later in the show, I expect Bobby Knuckles to rubber stamp his contendership with a dominant performance. And we go back to Australasia at the back end of the year for the big rematch in a capacity stadium.
Beautiful.
That would be huge. But I think Robert Whittaker needs to... You could see behind the eyes of Robert Whittaker after his last performance, that dominant victory. He didn't want Adesanya next. He wasn't ready for Adesanya next. He wasn't pushing for it. I think we'll see in the white of his eyes this weekend, if he gets his arm raised as the Gastelum, and if he immediately jumps on it, he knows all he's got to do is ask for it and he's going to get it. It's going to be interesting to see whether he wants it next. Where is he in his own headspace? Because that is ultimately where Robert Whittaker fell short in the past and why he took a sabbatical from the sport. He burnt himself out. Where is he at now? That's what's going to be so interesting about this weekend.
People who listen to this show know that we're high on Darren Till, right? Even though he texts me shit every now and again, right? We're high on him. Here's my thoughts where Darren's at right now. Because people ask me all the time, when they've watched him fight and maybe not fully understood the nuances of elite level striking and what Darren goes about doing, they ask me, do you think he can be a UFC champ? Do you think he can become a world champion? Where's the next UFC world champion coming from? And obviously, we wax lyrical about other people's names like Leon Edwards and various others that we talk about. Arnold Allen will come up in a minute. We'll talk about him. But yeah, I am convinced, and I'll go on record saying this, I am convinced that Darren Till, at some point in his career, will have UFC goal wrapped around his waist. The journey to it, I don't know. But going off everything that has happened with Darren in his career, it won't be easy. It'll be Bisping-esque, this story. This is what is going to happen. It'll be Bisping-esque. It'll be a last-minute replacement job. It'll be he's lost another final eliminator on a split decision or something. Some loads of little things like that are going to happen in Darren's journey. It's going to be up, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. He'll get called in last minute because someone's got food poisoning. He'll have been cornering Grundy or Aspinall. He's there. Yeah, all right, I can make weight. I've just coincidentally that I'm on weight. I'll step in last minute and then he'll end up chinning the champion and becoming world champ that way. That is what will happen with Darren Till. Do I think he'll go on and defend the belt 10, 12, 13? No, I don't. I don't think he'll do that. But I think at some point there will be a moment where Darren Till hears and the new, whatever, UFC champion of the world. I think he will get to that point, but it will not be an easy ride. It'll be, like I said, Hollywood movie-esque, Bisping story-esque. That is what you're experiencing now with Darren Till.
Yeah, that's 100% true. He's been like that his entire life, so that's definitely going to happen. Hmm. What would you do next if you're Kevin Holland? Because I think a move back down to welterweight has got to happen.
I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd move to Dagestan for 9 months, mate. I'd move to Dagestan and I'd say, can you lads just show me how to do this bit, yeah? Show me how to do this bit. I'm going to lock myself in a mountain for a bit. Go and practice and then come back next year. Right, Kevin Holland, 3.0. I'm ready to go, lads. I know how to stop you doing that to me so I can chin you. That's what I'd do. But you're right, mate. For a guy that weighed in at 183... So he's well within the limit.
He never cut any weight, he said. He said he was walking around.
Come on, man. Cut the weight. Give yourself some advantage, yeah? Those dudes at 185 pounds, 186 pounds in this case, they're over 200 pounds on fight night. The big guys, you know what I mean? There's a lot. He looked weak in the clinch. Every time he grabbed hold of him, he looked weak. Give yourself a chance. Go and fight guys like you. Cut that weight down to 170 and give yourself an opportunity. We know that he can chin dudes. We know that his stand-up's mint. But at least give yourself an opportunity when someone grabs hold of you that you can try your best to stay on your feet. Because his jiu-jitsu's good. It's just that the other dude's heavier. He can't get his jiu-jitsu off because the other dude's too heavy for him. Yeah, that's where he's at.
That was the difference for Tory. He was just too big and too strong, and there's nothing he could do with him. And Brunson's wrestling was just too elite. There's nothing he can do with him either. So, unfortunately, as I suggested to him, and he discredited it, but there is a blueprint to beat Kevin Holland. There's an absolute blueprint to beat him. And every single middleweight is going to be licking their lips at his ranking still, and is going to be wanting to take a shot at him. And his descent will be quite brutal if he's not careful, because it's all good and well stepping in at late notice and saving UFC cards, but when you step in at late notice and don't win a single round on the three judges' scorecards, that's an issue. That's an issue in terms of your marketability. So I would love to see him go away, come back as a welterweight, something that he has done previously in his career. And as you say, take some of those heightened strength advantages in there with him. But yeah, man. Speaking of strength advantages, though, Holland Arnold just impresses me every single time he fights.
Fill in the gap. You ready? Fill in the gap.
Go on.
Volkanovski, Aldo, McGregor, Gap, Max Holloway. Who's in the gap?
Yeah, Arnold Allen. 8 straight wins at featherweight.
Mate.
Second biggest winning run in this weight class. Absolutely unreal.
Unreal.
Unreal. Unreal. If he was a little bit more Darren Till, we'd be talking about him getting the next title shot. But unfortunately, he's more Leon Edwards. And
yeah.
Again, that's not a knock, but he is more of a Leon Edwards style, do my talking inside the octagon type of fighter. And unfortunately, that means that Arnold Allen, who is ranked number 10 in the division at the moment, I think Yusuf was 11, so I don't expect him to climb the rankings. But he is going to have to get that. I know he was matched to face Jeremy Stephens and it didn't happen, but he needs somebody above him now. And I think the manner of that performance against Yusuf, that was a real two good, young, hungry guys coming through. You know, not someone at the tail end of their career, not someone who's been there and done it and maybe a little bit long in the tooth now, maybe not quite as sharp. Yusuf, like Allen, is absolutely on the ascendancy and is super strong and super tough. The reward for that victory now, those first two rounds are outstanding. The reward for that has got to be a Calvin Kattar, a Chan Sung Jung, at the very least a Jeremy Stephens. It's got to be somebody up higher up in these rankings, because Arnold Allen deserves a shot at the top five.
Yeah, man. The performance was sensational. Everybody knows how high I was on Sadiq. I picked him as my one to watch dinner 2 years ago. Super Sadiq is legit. Don't underestimate the manner of that victory, and especially the first 10 minutes of that victory as well. He was absolutely brilliant, was Arnold Allen. And you're right, the comparisons with him and Leon compared to him and Darren Till are absolutely bang on. If this guy was mouthy, if this guy got on the microphone and rocked the microphone, he'd be there now, mate. We'd be saying, right, we're matching him with this guy. It's a title eliminator and he's fighting this guy. That's what's going to happen. But he's not. He's going to have to go around the houses. He's going to have to do it the hard way. And he's doing it the hard way. 8 fight win streak at 145. That's unreal. Because look at the Shark Tank. Look at the killers that are in this division. This is a serious, serious division. For me, there's two fights. You've mentioned some good names there, actually, that I didn't think about. Some really good names. I would love to see Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Arnold Allen, Yair Rodriguez would be unreal. If we can get that on, that would be sensational. Also, and this might be, no, fuck it, it's not a step too far, because at the end of the day, this is the UFC, it's not a step too far. If you're good enough, you're good enough. Go and fight the dudes. Mm-hmm. Zabit, make the Zabit fight. Zabit against Arnold Allen. Everybody's in on that, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, listen, I think Arnold Allen would take those fights as well. He would absolutely jump at those fights, those opportunities. I think, you know, it's 2-3 in the featherweight division now. And you've got to look at the fact that Ortega and Volkanovski are going to lock down this belt for at least the next 6 to 12 months, certainly till the back end of this year.
And Holloway. Holloway's coming to play, man. Holloway's next. After what Holloway did at the start of this year, he's next dude, isn't it? There's nobody getting a title shot other than those three. Nobody.
So there's the other opportunity. It's like Ortega and Volkanovski are going to have this tough season, which is going to start filming soon. Then they're going to have their fight at the end of it. So you're looking at least, you know, probably 4 or 5 months before they get it on, which takes us to the back end of the year, which then sees Max Holloway getting in with the winner.
Yeah.
Very lucky if we get it before the end of the year, if not early 2022, which means that Max Holloway needs a dance partner before the end of the year, which I would suggest Magomed Sharapov or even Yair Rodriguez makes sense there. I just think right now, Arnold Allen, would he take Magomed Sharapov? Would he take a Max Holloway? Would he take a Yair Rodriguez? You better fucking believe he would. But he's not got the star power to go in a main event against any of those guys just yet. I think a main event against a Dan Ige or a Jeremy Stephens or even a Korean Zombie makes the most sense next for Arnold Allen.
Yeah, and you're right. That would allow him
then, if he can get a win there in a main event, then boy, you know, Arnold Allen main eventing in a final eliminator at London in 2022. At the O2 in London, sign me the fuck up. Imagine that. Imagine Arnold Allen with one more win, Magomed Sharapov at London, the O2, March 2022. It's the main event. Boom. Yes, baby. We got there.
I think you're right. No, I think you're right, mate. I think you're right. I look at the style matchups of him and Yair Rodriguez and I just get giddy, because I think that would be a sensational fight. But you're right, the Jeremy Stephens fight's a nice little knot there. I know that Stephens has got a fight coming up, hasn't he? You've got, obviously, Calvin Kattar's coming off the back of defeat. I was high on Calvin. Brilliant hands. Still got brilliant hands. He just ran into Max Holloway, mate. Sensational fight. He'll be looking for a fight to get back in the win column. If you're going to do it, you've got to beat somebody in that top 10. Arnold Allen now in there. Good fights. Really good fights. Get on the phone, man. Get on the phone to Shelby and Maynard and make that happen, yeah? They're the fights that we want to be seeing for Arnold Allen. It has to be a contender. It's got to be those names. It's got to be contender names. It can't be, all right, he's going to be fighting the number 12 and the number 13 now. No. The contender names. The guys on the fringe of getting the belt. We know that belt is tied up for a period of time now. And obviously Max Holloway on the outside of that, he's definitely getting the shot at the winner of Volkanovski and Ortega. If he doesn't, there's something wrong going on in that division. The rest, Arnold Allen, he's the shark, man. He's the little shark swimming up behind them all. He's got to be playing with those guys. Defo. Another person that I was gobsmacked that Mackenzie Dern was a betting underdog, you know, at the weekend. But gobsmacked. I made easy money. I saw the lines coming in. I'm thinking, hang on. Nina Ansaroff, well, Nina Nunes now, she's been out for so long. She's just had a baby. That takes it out of you, man. That takes out. It could have taken a little bit of time to get back into your rhythm. Meanwhile, Mackenzie Dern's been ripping every bugger's arm off. And she'd be doing it in quick, smart fashion, looking mint. Now, okay, stand-up-wise, is she all there? There's still questions. We don't know.
Her stand-up's coming on. Her stand-up looks better and better and better.
Of course. But the minute that this hits a mat, you're all in trouble. Mackenzie Dern's unreal. So I made easy money on that fight the weekend. I can only see a Mackenzie Dern victory. And it proved that. I mean, she didn't mess about, did she? Yeah. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant performance from Mackenzie Dern. We obviously got a great performance as well from the big pole, Gamrot. And Alvin, the Cuban Missile Crisis gave us a banger as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, those were the standout fights, you're right. But what the fuck has happened to Mike Perry?
Oh.
Just a car crash. Just an absolute car crash.
It was hard to watch, mate. It was hard to watch.
I'm not saying Danny Rodriguez is not a bad fighter, because he is. He's a decent man, but Mike Perry should be beating him. You know, with all due respect, I know Danny Rodriguez got that amazing tribute to Liverpool's 1986 FA Cup and League Cup double winning team blazed across his chest. I respect him for that, absolutely. But this is a level below where Mike Perry is at. Should be at where he's at. You know, Mike Perry should be dealing with this guy, no problem. He's absolutely gone backwards in his career. I'm not surprised when you've got your girlfriend and a novice pro as your corner team. It's like, you can't, as talented he is, and he is talented, Mike Perry. He is absolutely talented. And people that have trained with him, I know people who've trained with him at Jackson Wink, who are like, man, he's fucking good, you know. He's better than you think, because he's got this tough guy persona, this crazy man persona. But people accept that this guy can actually fight. But by setting himself up, just training himself and this whole non-corner team, you just can't do it, man. I know Tilt touched on it the weekend. He sent a tweet out and was like, mate, we've had our differences, but if you want to come to Liverpool and train with us, you're more than welcome. Because he does. He looks like a lost soul, Mike Perry, right now. Yeah. And you, unfortunately, you fear for where his head takes him outside the octagon. When he hasn't got a fight and he hasn't got a camp lined up, it's bad enough when he has, but when he hasn't, you're basically waking up every morning expecting to read a bloody elbow headline about Mike Perry being locked up in the back of a police cell for whatever reason. And that's just the person that he is. He needs a gym, he needs a focus, he needs a coach, he needs a team around him that can focus on him and bring out his potential, because right now the only potential he's got is being cut and incarcerated. He needs to sort his head out, man. He needs to get his shit together, because he's just a shadow. You know, Danny Rodriguez must have fucking buzzed his tits off, because he just beat him up. Just beat him up for three rounds.
He looked flat. It was very, very hard to watch. And it was weird, man, because I interviewed Mike last week, and it's up on our YouTube channel. Go and have a look at it. And I came away from it really confident, because I thought, wow, he's in a good place. Fatherhood is definitely changed his mentality. Last year was a horrific year. It was a bad year for him, you know, a very turbulent year. You've just said there, every time we seem to flick the internet on, there was a story about Mike Perry doing this, doing that, getting himself in all sorts of trouble outside the octagon. And it was tough. If you're a Mike Perry fan, it was very, very tough. But since the birth of his son at the start of the year, it's all been smiles on social media. The news has been good. Everything's been sound. He's been working at MMA Masters. The reports coming out of MMA Masters has been really, really solid, that he's been putting the grind in and he's been putting the yards in. I'm thinking, I come away from the interview thinking, all right, Mike, this is the Mike I want to see. I want this Mike. Yeah. Really nice. Good to be around. Good stuff. But then when the fight started, it felt like the fire had gone out. And this happens sometimes when you become a dad. You know, it does soften people, doesn't it? It does soften us up a touch. Maybe that's what's happened. I don't know. Because he didn't look like Mike Perry. The Mike Perry that the first Mike Perry I went to go and see live was against Danny Roberts in Manchester. That Mike Perry, Jesus Christ, that Mike Perry was unbelievable. And Danny was brilliant that night as well. It was a fight of the night contender. And Mike Perry was a pure savage with the way that he finished that fight. It was outstanding. Yeah. That Mike Perry's a contender at welterweight. You know, a proper contender. The Mike Perry that we saw at the weekend, the fire's gone, man. And you're right, the words that we use are lost and just wandering around the octagon aimless. Some of the things that he was doing in there, I'm thinking, that's not you. What are you doing? What are you doing? There's no technique. There's no thought process to what you're doing. D-Rod's good. He's good. That's all he is.
Yeah.
He ain't going to go on and become the champion of this division. He's a good fighter who will make himself a decent living out of it. And Mike Perry made him look fucking unreal. He made him look unreal at the weekend. It was nice to see Till take to social media saying, listen, man, up sticks, come to Liverpool, get a grind on and let my man be your corner. Who knows? Who knows whether that will work or not? Because for me, it was heartbreaking to see the fire go out of Mike Perry. I wish him all the best in the world. I wish him all the peace in the world. I just hope him to have a good, solid, nice life. But he's got one fight left, hasn't he, on his UFC contract. And at the moment, it's looking like it'll be his last.
Yeah. And if you're a welterweight in that UFC weight division, you are fucking burning your phone up, contacting Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard, asking for that fight, because Mike Perry is still a main card draw. And he's still Mike Perry. And you can get a lot of attention by calling and asking for that fight. But yeah, man, he needs to sort himself out. And you know, if he's been training at MMA Masters and doing the work there, why not have the coaches from MMA Masters in your corner?
Mate, I came away from the interview thinking that that was the case. We had a joke about it. I joke with him saying, is long gone are the days where you're auctioning off parts of your corner and all this type of stuff. And he had a bit of a laugh. He said, listen, my son's here now. I might bring my son in the corner and all this type of stuff. But no, I'm knuckling down and I'm getting serious. So I came away from it thinking, okay, man, we're working with MMA Masters. That's what we're doing. That's who we are working with now. Cool. But again, he just looked lost.
And there's a difference about training at a gym and being at a gym as well.
Of course, of course.
You know, he may have just gone to MMA Masters. Do you mind if I do my camp here? He turns up every day for the sparring sessions, for technical sessions, whatever it may be. But that's different from being in the gym, part of the gym, offering yourself up to the coaches at the gym to coach you. It's very different. There's a huge
He said the training was catered around him, though. Like, part of that chat, I said, he was saying, listen, man, I'm enjoying it. Great guys. I'm learning so much stuff. They are catering this camp around me. I'm not just part of something. This is for me, for Mike Perry. So I'm like, cool. I was on board. But there was no evidence of that in the octagon on Saturday night.
Exactly. There was no game plan set out for him to follow. And there was nobody in the corner with the authority to tell him to get back to a game plan or follow a game plan. Very strange individual.
Be interesting to see what happens next.
Yeah, I tell you what, before we sign off on that, Jack Shaw's performance was absolutely outstanding. Hunter Azure is no joke, man. That was a real good line in the sand.
Mate, the wrestling. The wrestling.
Unbelievable. That Welsh Valley wrestling is competes with any kind of wrestling on the planet.
Proper wrestling.
He's legit, Jack Shaw, man. Yeah, man, he's fucking absolutely legit. You know, you don't get to 14-0. By accident, you know, and certainly now in the UFC, that was a step up. That make no mistake, Hunter Azure was a test for him. That was the UFC going, yeah, okay, kid, let's see how good you actually are. And to out wrestle him the way he did, dominate him on the ground, I thought that was absolutely outstanding. A real, yeah, real good performance. Can't wait to see him fight again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'll preview Whittaker and Gastelum in a moment, but there's other fight cards that we need to get stuck into from the week just gone. I'll go to earlier on in the week. Totally forgot to preview this last week. Totally forgot to mention it, even though I've been speaking to One Championship for about a month about various things that we were supposed to be doing with him. So I apologise if you were a big fan anticipating some midweek mixed martial arts. We didn't mention it on last week's show. We're definitely going to mention it now because there's two big talking points coming off the back of it. With two former UFC champions involved in those main and co-main events. I'll do the easier one first, which I think is the DJ one. Well, One Championship, they don't give a shit about grounded knees, man. They don't give a fuck, do they? Demetrius Johnson's never been finished before. He's been finished now, and it was via a grounded knee. Now, anybody that was watching that without knowledge of the One Championship rule set, they'd have been outraged. They'd have been tweeting, going wild, because DJ's head's there just for the taking, and he gets one right in the chops, doesn't he? And he's out off the grounded knee. But that's the way it is. One Championship is very, very different. I thought DJ in the aftermath was DJ. He's just class. He's absolute class. When you stick a microphone in his face, very matter of fact, classy as ever, dealt with the situation. He moves on, we move on. It brings up a whole debate as to whether grounded knee should be a part of mixed martial arts. I'm coming to the thinking of going, yeah, fuck it, man. Just leave them in. Just, you know what I mean? Are they that dangerous? Are they?
Yes.
Are they? Yes, they are. But come on, man. It's a fight. It's a fight. We need to emulate and have it as close as we possibly can to a street fight. That's what I'm saying. Volleys in the head, knees in the head. Mate, bring them all back. Volleys in the head, biting. You bring it all back, man. It's a fight. He who dares wins. You lock the cage. Lock the cage door. He who dares wins. That's it. That's it. You win by opening the door and leaving. That's how you win. First one to be able to do that. It was brutal. It was a brutal knockout.
It was, yeah. It was a brutal knockout. And, you know, it wasn't what was supposed to happen. The ONE FC had kind of built up Demetrius, made them go, through the entire tournament to get this flyweight title shot, which he eventually got on Adriano Moraes. Pissed all over the chips. More than anything, this was the first fight you won championship had with TNT, which was the American TV broadcast partner.
Yeah.
In fact, the event was called One Championship on TNT Part 1. And there was three Americans on the card, and all three Americans got beat, which didn't actually follow the script of what you want for your first American broadcaster. But hey-ho, this is MMA, baby. And unfortunately, while Adrian Moraes followed the letter of the law and the rules and landed that grounded knee to the chin to force the finish against Demetrius Johnson, there was then a very strange employment of the rules to disqualify Eddie Alvarez in his fight against Lipkus, where, listen, man, he's in the heat of battle. It's a fight. And to
get Go on, then. What's your take on it? What's your take on the second one? Because Eddie Alvarez has been disqualified for illegal strikes, yeah? That's what he's been
doing. Yes. Punching in the back of the head.
Yeah, which he did.
Disqualified.
Which he did.
It was a fight. Come on.
So hang on a minute.
You get a shower, you're going to get wet.
So one dude's allowed to knee somebody in the mush and knock him out, right?
Too much.
But illegal strikes to a region which stores quite a lot of optical and the nervous system, that's all right. Crack on, lad, you know what I mean?
It was just a punch, man. Come on.
One? It was not one punch. It was not one. There was several smacks on the back of his head, mate.
Only one or two of them drifted slightly offside.
Drifted!
Just get on with it. Come on.
Listen, you know the rules, buddy, right? And you know the illegal zones on the back of somebody's head. The rules are there for a reason. And the reason, just for people listening to this who watched it, who thought, oh, that's a bit harsh. Disqualifying Eddie in that situation, that's a bit harsh. It might look harsh, but the rules are there for a reason. That Mohawk zone on the back of your head, right? If you get a pen and draw it across the tops of your ears, right across the back of your head, do that, and then draw a Mr. T, right? Draw a Mr. T Mohawk down the centre of your head. I'm doing this on video. Hopefully, we'll stick this on YouTube so you get to see what I'm doing here. I might even put some diagrams up there. That zone is illegal for you to strike, and the reason for that is, as I've just said, quite a big nervous system to the whole body there. You know what I mean? Kind of connects the whole body. Nobody wants to get paralyzed doing this game. Nobody wants that. So let's try and protect those zones. Now, Eddie Alvarez has Lipkus down on the deck, doesn't he? And he's giving him a crack. There's a lot of real estate body that he could aim at if he wanted to. He decided not to do that, did Eddie? He went for the head. So he goes for the head. The first one does clip the ear. Right?
Yes.
The first one clips the ear. And that's the key thing, right? Because you see strikes in this area all the time. But as long as it clips the ear, you are safe. That's okay. Because you're clipping the ear. Then Lipkus turns his head a touch because he doesn't want to get smacked there. Right? You know what I mean? He doesn't want to get smacked there. Eddie Alvarez carries on whacking him. They don't touch any. They're nowhere near the ears. Nowhere near whatsoever. He hits him. He doesn't hit him once or twice. He hits him six or seven times, right? On the back, in the illegal zone. That's what he does. Now, people I've seen on social media have chipped up saying, well, Lipkus turned his head. Right?
Bingo.
And no, not bingo. He turned his head. Oh my days! I'll try and compare this to football, right? It's like, he left his leg in. He left his leg in, and he just stood on it and snapped it. It's still a fucking foul, mate. He still broke his leg, and he needs to get sent off. At the end of the day, the rule set is there that you're not allowed to hit in those areas. If the fighter encourages you to hit me in those areas, you can't just run up to him and smack him in the areas just because it's the only option available to you. And by the way, it wasn't the only available option. Eddie Alvarez could hit him in the body if he really wanted to. He decided not to. He decided to keep throwing the shots, and he threw six, maybe seven illegal shots, and therefore was correctly disqualified in my mind. Now, did Lipkus milk it? Yeah. He did, mate. He milked the shit out of that cow, didn't he? You know what I mean? In fact, at one stage, he was holding the other side of his head. He wasn't even owning the side that he'd been whacked on. He was owning, he'd gone full Rivaldo on the shit, hadn't he? You know what I mean? He was led on the floor having a look at the referee going, is he still looking at me? Oh, yeah, I'm injured, ref. I'm injured, definitely injured. Can't continue. Come on, mate. We know that you took it to the extremes. But the fact of the matter is, Eddie Alvarez struck him illegally. And there's a reason... look at you. You've got all VAR on me, letter of the law now on me. Don't do that. He hit him illegally. Should have been disqualified correctly. Nobody wants to see that. I want to see Eddie Alvarez fight. But it's illegal shots.
Yeah, well, you know. It's a fight, isn't
it? There you go. Nick Peake's all right with being kneed in the face. No, so he's not all right with being kneed in the face. But any smacks around the back of the head, crack on. What's the matter with you, man? What's the matter with you? Now, I would love to sit here and give you a full review of Bellator, but I haven't seen it. I was there to tune in. BBC deal, the iPlayer, I was there. And obviously, with the sad passing of His Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, on Friday, the BBC took the action of changing a lot of their programming. I saw various sports on Friday that were on the iPlayer.
The Grand National got moved from ITV as well.
It all went behind like... it weren't on. The events carried on, but they just didn't broadcast it. So Bellator, I've not seen it. I've not actually seen the action because there's been... I wanted to watch it Friday night live because there was so much action on Saturday night. I knew that there wouldn't be an opportunity for me to come back to it and watch it again. So I've only read on the stuff. So I've got to hold my hands up there. I can't be saying, listen, Bader was this or Bader was that. I know that Bader's won. I know he's got the job done. Lieto Machida is now 0-4 in rematches. But there's not much more I can say about it. I don't know whether you caught a hooky stream and seen it, but because the BBC didn't show it, because of the decision not to show it, I haven't seen it.
No, I think they put it out on Bellator.com's UK feed or something. I think I'd seen someone put it online, but by that stage I'd already pressed the red button, and you know, like anything in life, if it's not there, if I have to go looking for it, well, same old Bellator, same old place. And I just thought, I can't be arsed with this now.
Yeah, but we've got to be honest, it's not Bellator's fault, man.
Of course it's just atypical of being a MMA fan trying to watch Bellator that you're having to work really fucking hard to watch Bellator. It's been like this for the last 5 or 6 years. But this was completely out of their control, of course. You know, slightly unusual because it was a red button feature, but hey-ho, BBC have made the decision. That's fine. But yeah, I haven't gone back and looked at it. Basically because, you know, I think Kat Zingano and Liz Carmouche was the easiest double in the history of MMA betting. Yes, because that's the way Bellator match up fights. It was just utter nonsense the way they were going to win. And there was no other fighters or fights on this card I was remotely interested in except the main event. And when I seen the main event, that Ryan Bader had won a majority decision on points, or a unanimous decision on points over Lyoto Machida, I made a conscious decision over the weekend to not waste 25 minutes of my life watching it and another 10 minutes trying to find it, and just accepting the fact that, okay, Ryan Bader moves into the semi-finals of the light heavyweight tournament and Lyoto Machida probably stares down the barrel of gun of retirement, thankfully, by now. So yeah, I haven't gone looking for it. Will I press the red button and try and watch this weekend's quarterfinal where Nemkov, the actual champion, takes on Phil Davis? Yes, I probably will. Corey Anderson's on there as well. I think that's part of the tournament also.
Yeah.
And Paul Daly's on the main card too. So, of course, I'll tune in to watch Paul Daly smash somebody to bits or get outworked on the ground. So, yeah, this weekend, Bellator's back as well. Hopefully. If we don't get any more deceased members of the royal family, fingers crossed.
You're a royalist. You know what I mean? You've got to support the decisions. All right. Okay. That's Friday night. Bellator Friday night. The light heavyweight tournament continues. My tip to win the tournament is Nemkov, and he's fighting Phil Davis. I think that's a rematch as well, isn't it? From yesteryear. Paul Daly's like Nick just said, is on the card, and it's Anderson versus
Sol Rogers on there as well. Actually, yeah, Sol Rogers from Manchester.
Yes, he is.
Sol's on it.
And Yagshimiridov is the guy that's fighting Corey Anderson, part of the light heavyweight tournament. It'll be good. Friday night, BBC iPlayer. Make sure you are checking that out. Now, sadly, we're back to normal times for UFC consumption. Early hours of the morning for a bit of Whittaker versus Gastelum. We kind of waxed lyrical about this earlier on in the show, but I just want to reiterate the magnitude of this fight now at the weekend. Yes, we know that there's no title on it and it's not one of the numbered cards. It's a normal fight night. But with the former champion taking on a guy that has gone all blood and sunder with the current champion, you would think that there's a lot riding on this fight. Robert Whittaker is the number one. He's the guy with all the chips. He wins the fight at the weekend. You would think that the UFC are going to do everything in their power to put a pay-per-view on with him and Israel Adesanya rolling it back for the middleweight championship of the world. But if Kelvin Gastelum can find something, if he can find some magic from somewhere and beat Robert Whittaker, there's a bit of narrative actually in this fight, isn't there? Because if you remember, these two were supposed to be fighting each other when Kelvin Gastelum was strolling around Australia with that fake belt on his shoulder, because Robert Whittaker got ill, didn't he, and ended up pulling out the fight between these two. I'm glad that it's back on, because stylistically I think it matches up well. I don't know where Gastelum's at though. I don't know where he's at. Recently he's not been there, and I just hope that he is there and he gives us something special, so therefore we can roll it back and maybe get another Israel Adesanya Kelvin Gastelum fight. But I would favour Robert Whittaker going into this at the weekend, given what I've seen recently from him.
Yeah, you know, it has to the guess that Gastelum was a pretty big part of Vettori's camp, and in turn, Vettori was a big part of Gastelum's camp. So, you know, it's not like he hasn't had the iron sharpens iron type of spar, and he's been sparring with, you know, another one of the top 10 guys in the middleweight division. So I expect Gastelum to come in shape, but I do believe that Robert Whittaker, when he's on, is an outstanding middleweight, you know, the former champion. I think he's probably a little bit better in most areas to trouble Kelvin. I think Kelvin's got great boxing and he's got excellent MMA wrestling as well, but I just think as a complete package, Bobby Knuckles is just got a few extra scores. If you think of it as a video game, he's got a few eights and nines where Kelvin's got sixes and sevens in terms of their ability. So I expect Robert Whittaker to make a bit of a statement. Again, I'm looking forward to the post-fight interview to see how he feels about the Adesanya rematch. Is he ready for it next? Is that coming? Is Australia ready for it next? You know, is everything's about timing in this game, and Robert Whittaker's experienced enough now to know that he can have this fight with Adesanya, this rematch, when he wants it. It's almost on his terms. As long as he comes through this weekend, it's on his terms. Why rush into it? Why do Adesanya a favour? Why do the UFC or even Australia a favour? Robert Whittaker will fight Adesanya when Robert Whittaker is ready. I want to know if he is ready. Well, we'll find out the weekend by his performance. But I think it's Whittaker's fight to lose, put it that way.
What else is giving you a hard-on about this card?
That co-main, Jacare Clouser and Jeremy Stephens, that can't be a bad fight. It literally cannot be a bad fight. Jacare Clouser, you know, always came, always turns up. Jeremy Stephens, you know, we missed out on that fight with Arnold Allen, but he'll be wanting to reaffirm himself. This could well be a fight that provides us with the next opponent for Arnold Allen, with them being only on a 7-day turnaround. Whoever wins this is going to be on a similar turnaround to Arnold Allen in terms of returning to the octagon. So that corner bank's jumping out at me, definitely. I'm looking forward to seeing Al Hassan up at middleweight. He looked great for a spell at welterweight, knocked out, you know, some decent names, and then suddenly failed to make weight on a couple of occasions, lost both those fights. The UFC have obviously said, that's it, son. You can't do 170, you're going up to 185. He's a fucking big, muscly, chiseled motherfucker anyway. So I think naturally letting him compete at 185 makes sense, and it won't obviously gas him out. It won't suck away at that gas tank, which I think he's paid the price for last two occasions. So they give him a bit of a layup in Malkoon as well. So I think Al Hassan could steal the show with a trademark turning back the clock knockout also.
There you go. Thank you very much for joining us on our little podcast. We'll be putting various bits up on YouTube this week, so please go and join us on there. If you just like it in your ears though and not in your face, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for, and fightdisciples.com is the website. Everything's on there. Please be a part of this. We try our very best to keep you up to date with all the big news throughout the course of the week. If the big fights are dropping, if the big news is dropping, then we will feature it on our social media. We're going to finish, though. We're going to finish with What do you mean? Go on. I'm just on that, just on the social media aspect. Well, I don't know if you saw over the last few hours or so, but a little bit more back and forth for the super fight that's happening in July between Conor and Dustin. Insinuations that Conor's not paid up his charity bet. Flames, man. Flames. I'm just having a quick look at the exchanges.
Conor's countering as well to say, listen, man, the money's there, but we've asked you to tell us where that money's going to be spent, because I just don't give money away willy-nilly. It's part of my team's due diligence that if you want my money for your charity organisation, you need to provide me with detailed information.
That's right.
How that money's going to be spent. So suddenly we're not pally-pally no more, brother. We're not putting our arms around each other in unity anymore. The venom is starting to build. It will get even more ugly as we move forward towards July the 10th. It is the biggest fight the UFC currently have made on paper. And yeah, man, I like it because I think angry Conor, trash-talking Conor, venomous Conor, playing to the crowd Conor is the best Conor. Hmm. So we need it. We need it.
Yeah. I hope that this leads to Conor being, I don't know, stood outside some type of playground in Lafayette, Louisiana, that he has built with his charity donation for the children of Lafayette, Louisiana, handing over one of those big comedy checks. That's what I want to see Conor McGregor doing, because, like he says, he does his due diligence. He wants to make sure that that money is going to the right cause. I just like the extra layer of trash talk that has now gone on to this between these two guys. See you July the 10th. It should be an absolute crackerjack, and fingers crossed we'll be there. Thank you very much for listening to us. It's been an absolute pleasure once again to be in your company. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.